The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 13th through Sunday, October 19th, 2025. The commentary for October was written by Amy Morehouse, an Episcopal priest, spiritual director, mental health advocate, fiber artist, and native East Tennessean. The commentary for Monday, October 13th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Here's the commentary. When my child was a toddler, I would sometimes reflect on these words of Jesus. As a parent, you can't shake off the dust from your feet every time you are sure your child is not listening. There was more than one grocery store trip full of no's that went right in one ear of my child and out the other. I wonder how God feels when we do something similar. Does God ever become impatient with us and our inability to listen? I hope God is compassionate with all our stumbles and our hard hearts, just as we are with our children when they are first learning to walk and talk and listen. There is so much for us to learn here in this wide world, especially how we listen to God and all of God's children. We can welcome Jesus right into our midst, in one another. And now I'm going to read the full passage from today's Gospel, from Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. And the moving forward question for this day is, what patience might we need to learn today as we listen for God's leading? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, October 14th, the day that we commemorate Samuel Chereshevsky. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 10, verse 19b. Do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. Bishop Samuel Chereshevsky was a master of language. Originally from Lithuania, he studied in Germany and attended seminary in the United States. In 1859, the Episcopal Church sent him to China, where he spent 13 years translating the Bible into Mandarin. After becoming Bishop of Shanghai, he began translating the Bible into Wenli. He later developed Parkinson's disease and typed the last 2,000 pages of his translation with the one finger he still could control. 4 years before his death, he said, "I have sat in this chair for over 20 years. It seemed very hard at first. But God knew best. He kept me for the work for which I am best fitted." There must have been times when he was tempted to give up. His worries must have been many, and yet he continued to faithfully seek the words that might give others access to Holy Scripture in their own language. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. "See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what worries might you need to leave with God on this day? Now the commentary for Wednesday, October 15th, the day on which we commemorate Teresa of Avila. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. "And even the hairs of your head are all counted." When I was a child, it seemed impossible that God could know all the hairs on my head. My mother, raising two girls on her own, worked mightily to ensure that we were church presentable on Sunday morning. One of our Saturday night rituals was curling our hair so that we would have church hair on Sunday morning. One Sunday morning, unhappy with those curlers, I told my mother, "God doesn't care what my hair looks like." And my mother, bless her, said, "God may not, but I sure do." As an adult, I have spent many years trying to understand God's deep knowledge of and love for us, Sunday hair or not. I'm not sure it's something we can actually understand, but instead, something we can grow into and experience as deeply true. On the days you feel unacceptable before God, remember that you are still beloved, curlers or not. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the household Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, nor nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, is there something about you that you fear God finds unlovable? What would help assure you of that love? Now the commentary for Thursday, October 16th, a day on which we pay tribute to Latimer, Ridley, and Cranmer. It begins with a passage from Matthew 10, verse 39. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Bishops Latimer, Ridley, and Cranmer, all condemned to death during the English Reformation, were faithful Anglican churchmen. Archbishop Cranmer's distinct English prose still shapes the liturgy we use each week, and his prayers or collects are prayed regularly more than 500 years after his death. Each of these men we remember today had a deep faith and sought to understand how best to worship and follow Jesus Christ in an age when arguments over church doctrine had dire consequences. Their sincere faith sustained them, even in adversity. One reason to celebrate the lives of the saints is to encourage one another in faith to learn the details of their lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, so that we can sustain ourselves when life is hard, to know that Christ holds our lives both now and on into the future. And now I'm going to read the gospel for today, which is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And the moving forward question for this day is there a saint of the church whose life helps you be more hopeful in your faith? Now the commentary for Friday, October 17th, a day on which we commemorate St. Ignatius of Antioch. This one begins with a commentary from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10a. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. When you think of who you are today, what are the parts that make you who you are? Do you see your parts of your grandparents, parents, or siblings? Parts of your children, your friends, your church community. Maybe you have your mother's laugh or your grandfather's gift for telling a joke. How often do we think of God's grace as a gift that shapes us each day, along with all the other parts of ourselves? Who might be without that grace? Would we be less loving, less hopeful, less patient, less compassionate? I sometimes wonder if those around us see God's grace shining forth from us. Has our faith made a difference in our daily actions? If my neighbors were asked, could they testify that I live a life in relationship with God, in love, and in service to those around me? Now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. And the moving forward question for this Friday, October 17th, is not a question, but a suggested prayer for this day. God, show me how to share your grace with all I meet. Now the commentary for Saturday, October 18th, a day on which we commemorate St. Luke the Evangelist. It begins with a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5b. Be sober, endure suffering to the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. Paul writes to his friend Timothy from his prison cell, offering instruction and encouragement on how to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, even as Paul feels his own life is drawing to an end. To be sober means not only to refrain from dissipation and drunkenness, but also to be alert and aware of what is occurring around us, and to pay attention to the life happening right outside our doors. It can be tempting to fill our lives with too many tasks, too much social media, or so much comfort that we insulate ourselves from the suffering of others. We have an obligation as followers of Jesus to pay attention to the hurts in this world, to spread the gospel words of love and hope of salvation, and not be tempted into assuming it's someone else's job. On this feast day of St. Luke, we remember that God has made each of us an evangelist of hope in the name of Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the epistle today of Paul to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 5 through 13. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You also must beware of him, for he is strongly opposed to our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the moving forward question for today is, what word of hope might someone need to hear from you today? And now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 19th. It is the 19th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 7a. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? The idea of justice is a continual theme in both the Old and New Testaments. The Scriptures name the belief and the hope that God is a God of justice, dealing fairly with those who are oppressed or singled out for unjust treatment. In praying to God for a just solution to the world's many injustices, we lift up our trust that God is still invested in what happens here, in God's creation. We believe that God cares about God's people. We also pray for the strength to participate in God's justice, which must mean that our actions as followers of Jesus Christ matter not only to God, but also to those around us. Where in this world do you see injustice? Where do you see a lack of love for neighbors or persecution of those who are vulnerable? What would God's justice look like to bring us back into right relationship with God and with one another? How are we called to work toward a more just world for all of God's people? And now I'm going to read the passage of today's Gospel from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now I'm going to conclude this program with a psalm for this day, a psalm that is very well known to all, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, October 19th, is what injustice would God have you see clearly today? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.